Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles. Hallelujah. Jay, did you get an image? That's for the communion. We could get something like that put up. I didn't tell you where, did I? Chronicles 14, first chronic. First Chronicles chapter 14. As we had prayer before the service, we appreciate those who were able to gather, and we were just declaring breakthrough. You know, you might not be aware of this. Some of you, this might be new. Many, many years ago, this church was established, and we were a part of the Assemblies of God movement. And the way you named your church was you had the suburb that you were in, and then you just called yourself Assemblies of God. So there was the Ringwood Assembly of God, the Dandenong Assembly of God, and we were the Blackburn Assembly of God. You didn't have to think about your name. Didn't have to pray about your name. You just had your name. And then, you know, the Assemblies of God changed their name to the Christian Churches. So it was like, okay, we became Blackburn Christian Church because that was the way they changed. But then also something began to happen where churches began to realize that was good as long as you didn't move. Because if you moved one suburb over and you weren't Blackburn anymore, but you changed your name because everyone knows you as Blackburn, but now you're over maybe in Burwood or something like that. And so it became confusing. Then other people said, well, why don't we call ourselves something that connects with who we are and what we're called to? So Assemblies of God and Christian churches, and in fact, a lot of other churches began to change their name. And we said, listen, we believe we're going to move out of where we are. Let's get God's mind for who we are so that we can call ourselves by what our calling is as opposed to the suburb, because then when we move, we can keep the name and it makes more sense. So we bounced a lot of names around, and they were all good names. It just didn't stick, sort of names. So I'm not going to tell you what they are, because you might say, oh, that's a really good name. If you start your church, you can pray and get your mind for what your church name is. But we were praying and praying, but there was just not a name. And I can still remember very clearly where I was. It was in my study back then when we were living in Forest Hill. And I was walking, as I often do when I'm praying. I'm very rarely still. And as I'm praying, not from up here, I heard it from down here. I heard a voice. And I heard Breakthrough Christian Church. Yeah. And as it came up, I go, oh, that's good. My first thought, that's good. Because a few things, it resonated with who we were and what we do. Yeah. The other thing is I had a few boxes I was praying about, and you know, that we were, Pastor Rika was the senior pastor, and we were looking at names. One of the ones was I was believing for a name that would be clear to people outside of the church. Because there are some church names which we understand, but people outside the church don't understand. So if we call it, and they're good, there's nothing wrong with them except, Shekinah is a great concept of God's presence and glory, but a lot of unsaved people are not going to know. Many Christians don't even know what Shekinah is. It's the glory of God. And, koinonia, fellowship. These are, shalom. We could be the shalom fellowship. I love shalom. I love the concept, but it's not going to, people probably think we're a Jewish fellowship or something like that, and they wouldn't understand. So I was like, hey, that represents who we are, and it's a great name because it's clear what it means. It's got a meaning outside of the church. It's clear. And I said, God, you're really clever. In fact, when I shared our name many years ago with a friend of mine who's actually Greek from background, and he's a great guy. He's been thrown into prison for sharing the gospel in Greece. He got saved in my family's home, and so from Greek Orthodox background, he went back to Greece. And, if you preach the gospel in Greece, the Greek Orthodox get you thrown in prison. So he said, oh, that's just part of the course, to be there a day or so, and then they get out, and then you preach the gospel again. Okay. All power to you. And I was telling him, our church is called Breakthrough, and he said, you might not know this, I'm telling you something. Breakthrough's in the Bible. I said, oh, really? Because, and I was really encouraged because he thought the name worked and it's in the Bible, as opposed to we chose it because it was in the Bible. And it worked on the outside. But he just thought we just chose the name Breakthrough because we believe in Breakthrough. So I thought, well, it obviously ticks a really good box. Yeah, so that's and then we prayed and said, yeah, we believe that's the Lord. And then so we officially changed our name to Breakthrough. Yeah. So that's how we became named Breakthrough. When we were transferring our network, our spiritual connection with Heritage of Faith through Jerry Saville Ministries, we approached them and said, listen, all the churches are, they're just Heritage of Faith churches. And I said to them, we have been given an identity and a call, and even a prophetic pastor. Brother Jerry actually prophesied over us, and one of the things he said is, you are Breakthrough by name, but you are to be Breakthrough by nature. Yeah. It's not just to be a tag you have, it's to be who you are. And I said to him, could we be a Heritage of Faith church, but somehow retain that identity? And he said, 100%, go for it. Yeah. He said, you know, you. So that's why we are a Breakthrough Church, a Heritage of Faith Church. We've maintained that because that's a strong sense, not just of our tag, not just of our title, not because we're connected to that word, but it's a sense of identity of what God is wanting to do in us. And secondly, the prophetic word was, you are Breakthrough by name, you are also to be. It's not automatic. You're to maintain Breakthrough by nature.
Yeah, that's good.
It didn't say, because you're Breakthrough by name, you will be Breakthrough by nature. It was a challenge. It was an exhortation. It was a stay focused on this. Don't just assume. Don't just presume that that every time you walk in, it will happen. You know, we have it up in our foyer in big print across the back wall. We have a picture of, how many know, what is the picture in our foyer? Now, some people are like, it's... You know, sometimes you see things and it's just there. But there's a big, it's Melbourne. If you hadn't worked out, that's the Melbourne photo, probably from the top of the Rialto or something like that. Yeah. It's a panoramic view of this city that we are in, Melbourne. Yeah. And over that, we have some words. Because we are God's ambassadors, which are, and ambassadors, I think, a great expression of the fact that we are his representatives. We are given authority. We are his disciples. We are anointed to, we are his breakthroughs, bringing his breakthrough love and power to the world. Yeah. And so we have that over this city because that is our calling, to bring his breakthrough love and his breakthrough power to the world.
Yeah, so good.
Okay? It's his love and power which have a way of breaking through.
Yeah, so good.
Sometimes little things... I'm a stickler for getting things just right. I didn't say breakthrough, power, and love. Because I know if we'd put it breakthrough, power, and love, people would say it's breakthrough, power, and love.
Yeah.
But by switching it, help you to remember, it's breakthrough, love, and breakthrough, power.
Yeah, come on.
Our love and power is what enables us to break through. We bring a love that is breakthrough. So just... You know, you might not recognize that, but every time I look at it, I think, sneaky.
Yeah.
Keep people focused. This is our aim, to bring the love of God and the power of God, which breaks through.
Yeah.
That is our role. But that is not, cannot just become something on our wall.
Yeah.
Each time it must become fresh to us. Each time someone gets born again and becomes a disciple and a follower of Jesus, they must see that and say, you know, that's now my task. That's now my mission in life, because this is the calling that this church not only be called Breakthrough, it's Breakthrough by name, but Breakthrough by nature.
Yeah,
and nature goes beyond even we do breakthroughs.
Yeah.
It's just normal for us to live in a breakthrough culture where we just break through. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's where we experience life. We experience. You know, faith for us isn't something that we step into. Faith is what we live in. You know, the glory of God is not something that we enter into. It's what we dwell in and move. You know, the presence of God and being with God is not something we rise up to. It's just where we live.
So good. Amen.
And breakthrough is not to be something that we strive to get every now and again when someone's got a problem. We just live in breakthroughs. That's what we do when a situation arises. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, you have where this term and this phrase for breakthrough is first used, and it's when David has been anointed as the king over both the southern and the northern kingdoms. He has now finally come to what has been, he was anointed to so many years ago by the prophet Samuel. He's risen to that. And you know when you, let's see if it's in this the wording here. Verse 8, it's just, I don't know why I thought it's relevant, but you know, you've been anointed. You've been, we are a kingdom of priests. We are to rule and to reign on this earth. God has given us authority to rule. So you have been anointed. You have come into a place of rulership and kingship. And so I just, in light of that, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David, and this is now me, to send him congratulations, to say we're holding a party in your honor, to say it's amazing that you, David, have now reached this pinnacle. Let us celebrate with you. And when you enter into the anointing and the authority that God has given you, the enemy of the world says, let me say, I've laid down my weapons, that's it, I give up, you're too good, you win. Well done. You've nailed it. I'm just going to applaud you. Well done. You know, that's how it works, isn't it? Yeah, no one's experienced that. I think we experience this. When they heard, so it was when he had broken through into this new, into his calling and into his gifting, they came looking for him to challenge it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's some people, they say, oh, well, let's take the name down so we don't cause the enemy to come looking. Yeah. You've got to be joking. You know, this is a true story. My mum, many years ago, I'm from Yarrawonga, country town. It was about 4,000 people when I was growing up, so it was just a small country town. My dad was the principal of the local school, grew up there. My dad didn't know everybody. There was a few people he didn't. I reckon about 10. Yeah, he sort of knew everybody there. Anyway, my mum was having a prayer time with a group of ladies and they were praying for Yarrawonga and praying, you know, God to work, and they were having a great time. And then, you know, some stuff started to happen. And so they were meeting together and we said, whoa, it's almost like we've, you know, stirred up the enemy, isn't it? You know, it's like we've been praying and next minute the enemy's rising up. And one of the women said, oh, yeah, we should tone it down. Her response was, the enemy's been stirred up. Everybody, let's pull our head back so that we don't become a target. Wrong response.
Yeah, come on.
No. We're stirring him up with the authority here. Crank it up. You know, let's go in. And so it's true. When you step into what you've been called to, it says all the Philistines went up in search of David, and David heard of it, and he went out against them. Now, the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will you give them into my hand? Then the Lord said, go up, and for I will give them into your hand. So they came up to a place that became known as Baal Perazim. And David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, they named that place Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim means the master or the Lord of breaking through, the Lord of breakthroughs.
Come on.
They named that place after their great breakthrough.
Yep.
And, you know, Baal is actually, it's funny, you know, like, so when they say Baal Perazim, that's actually, you know, the Hebrew of the day, it was the language of the people of the day, and it's just transliterated for us. And Baal was the name they used to actually give to even a god. There was an idol called Baal, which it just means Lord. It was a generic term, but they had it for one. You know, he was also known as the Lord of the Flies. All power to you, mate, you know. Ours is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You get the flies, all the best, you know. It was probably to do with, you know, flies where death is and all the other stuff, you know. So it was like, he was the Lord of Death. Go for it. But he was, you know, Lord of the Flies. He was so they called him Baal. So, but Baal is not. It's the same as the word Lord. We have for our Jesus, our Lord. But the word Lord can be then used for a lot of other things. It's a title that's descriptive, but it can become the name of one thing. So he's Jesus is Lord. When I say let's pray to the Lord, you don't have to say which one. You know which Lord we're praying to.
Yeah, so good.
But the word Lord means master, controller, one in charge. But it's interesting, the place wasn't just named Perazim, which is the breaking through, the breakout. It wasn't named Perazim,
yeah.
The place where they got their breakthrough. It was named Baal Perazim, where the master of the breakthrough worked.
Yeah, come on, so good.
And that word Baal can be used with a lot of other things. It makes joint words, it connects with words to create that sense of ownership, of expertise and mastering. And you know, when they were ridiculing Joseph because he was a dreamer, they say, "Here comes the dreamer." That's actually what they said, "Here comes the Baal dreamer, the one who's in charge of the dreams, the dream master." It was meant to be like he's exalted himself as the one who's got the dream. So it uses to connect with that. If you put the word Baal, and you say, I won't give you this, I'll give you the scriptures, we won't look there, but so I'm like Genesis 37:19 is the one for Joseph, but Genesis 49:23, if you take the word Baal and put it with an arrow, is the word for an archer, a soldier who uses the bow. He's the master of the arrow, and it'll be translated as archer, all right? Because that's what he is. He's in control of that arrow. He's mastered the use of that arrow. He's an archer. If you put Baal with an appetite, with the word appetite, you become a glutton. I'm the master of an appetite, is the word for glutton. Possibly one of my favourites. I'm not just hungry, I'm Baal hungry. I am the... this is probably one of my favourites. Proverbs in 1:17, oh, did I say glut? That's Proverbs 23:2, you can see that word. Proverbs 1:17, if you put Baal and the word for wing, guess what you get? Bird. A bird is the wing master.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you know what I mean? Did anyone ever see the Birdman rallies that they used to hold in Melbourne many years ago? We used to have a festival and once a year, and they came, I don't know how they started, but they have a bridge and people would jump off that bridge and try and go a certain distance to win some money, and they have to fly so many metres to get the prize. And they'd have people come dressed as birds and they'd jump off and they'd flap their arms rigorously and go, pew. And many of them knew that they were going to fail, so they'd make their costumes very elaborate. And so it became known as the Birdman Rally. And people would turn up. But then other people would try and do it seriously. They'd build, you know, have to build like little gliders that they'd strap to their back and they'd jump off, and some of them would fall apart as they got resistance. Others would go a little distance and flop. You know. But you can have wings, but you're not a Baal wing person. You're not a bird. Do you know what I mean? A bird just doesn't have wings. A bird is the master of using wings.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
You know, a bird will jump off that bridge. Yeah, you've seen birds that just drop like a stone, looking like, yeah, and then just that far off, out come the wings. And they'll glide around and they'll go up and then they'll do a loop. And,
yeah.
You know, if you said to the bird, your challenge is to go 30 metres from the bridge, a bird would be like, as if. Challenge accepted. You know, I can go 3,000 metres without a break. Because they're Baal wing. They're masters of the wing.
Yeah, so good.
And he is Baal Perazim.
Yeah, come on.
The Lord, the master,
yeah.
The commander,
come on,
the
amen.
Expert
yeah.
of the breakthrough.
So good,
amen. Not just breakthrough. It's the Lord of the breakthrough. They name that place as the one, because you don't just need breakthrough, you need the expertise of the one who can bring breakthrough.
Yeah, come on, amen.
You know what I mean? It's not just about, I just need breakthrough. Yeah, you need breakthrough, but you need the expertise of the one to help you get breakthrough.
Yeah, so
Because it's really interesting that in this story, that seems to be like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Got the breakthrough, the master of breakthrough. And David actually went through, and you can sort of see the end of that. Verse 12 says the Philistines, they brought all their gods with them. You know, when you fight, you need your gods, so they brought them with them. They so were routed, they fled and they left all their idols there. And so David gave the order and all the idols were gathered and then they were burned with fire. Just total. And you sort of say, well, that's it. Verse 12 sounds like the end of the story. Baal Perazim. You know, when you get Baal Perazim, we've done it. We're there. Verse 13 says, and the Philistines made yet another raid in the valley. That doesn't seem very nice. I thought I got the victory. I thought we won. I thought we destroyed them. We have Baal Perazim.
Yeah.
And they made another raid on the valley. And David inquired again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. He said, no, we're not going to attack them directly this time. But you shall circle around behind them and come in them in front of these trees known as the balsam trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, in other words, when you hear something that is, you're going to hear the sound of spiritual angels marching and doing their work. When you hear that, then you know it's your turn to step in. Then you shall go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. And David did just as God had commanded him, and they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon, even as far as Gezer. That's 25 kilometers further west. And the fame of David went out into all the lands. How far is 25 kilometers? I'm guessing it's about Werribee, something like that. Anyone know? Yeah, someone will say, I will consult the Google. That's a long way, though. That's a route. The second victory was even more extensive than the first victory. But the point I want to make is we serve the master of breaking through because you need to know the expertise of getting your breakthrough, even if you've got a breakthrough in the past.
Yeah, so good.
You can't just sort of say, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
I know what to do. I remember the first time when this sickness came upon me. Well, I just got 12 scriptures and I put them up on my wall and I quoted those and I declared that and I spoke to it. And you know what? Within a month, I'm healed.
Yeah.
So when the other knee starts to play up, I've got this, God. I know how this Perazim thing works.
Yeah.
Just get my 12 scriptures. You need the master of breaking through to guide you in what is the way of breaking through. Because this time he says, that's not the direction. He said, whoa, that's how we did it the first time. He said, this time you've got to come around here. Because the key was not that you went there, but I'd gone before you. Now I'm going to go before you this direction. So you better get around here because the key is getting where God has already gone. And so you need the master, the Lord, the commander of breaking through is who we serve. And so we learn to live listening. How do we get a breakthrough? We get a breakthrough here. Good. And then we get a breakthrough over here. We just learn to live in breakthroughs. You know, I'm going to tell you something which might sound true but is a lie, that I'd like to learn to play the piano. Like I have learned a little bit in the past, but you see people playing the piano. I'd like to learn to play the piano. You know what that is? That's a lie. You know what the truth is? I'd like to be able to play the piano. I don't want to learn. I'd love to play the piano. I don't love learning to play the piano. I just want an angel to come and touch me in the middle of the night and I wake up and I can play the piano. I'd like to lose weight. No, I'd like to have less weight. I'd like to wake after that glutton bird thing is gone and I'm just less weight. You just think about the things you want. And sometimes you say, I'd like to, and you suddenly realize, no, I just want to be at the end. I don't want to go through any process.
Yeah,
I'd like to get faith stories like Jerry Seville had. Yeah, I just want to sort of translate to the story part. Do you know what I mean? I just want to have testimonies of God's breakthrough. I want to be like that person and how they're doing that. Yeah. Well, you just want to be at the end, but not necessarily be at the process.
Yeah,
I don't want to join them in their process. I don't want to become like them and what they've had to go through to get there. I don't want to have to make those decisions. I don't want to have to change those priorities. I don't want to have to give that up. I don't want to have to make that. I was listening to Jerry Seville share how one of his stories. We're listening to some of his earlier material, and you hear the stories, and you forget sometimes by the time he's come and he's enjoying great breakthroughs and great victories, what he's been doing.
Yeah, come on.
And I want to be there. Yeah. I'm not so sure I want to be here.
Yeah.
I want the breakthrough, but I'm not so sure I want the master of breakthroughs to guide me. I'm not so sure I want his expertise telling me how to do it.
Yeah.
just give me the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Come on, lay hands. Woo, done.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm going to go to the church. What just happened? But we can show you who is the master breakthroughs, and you can learn how to walk into those breakthroughs and gain the victory and walk in that.
Yeah.
I wish I could just lay hands on you and cast out the spirit of not being able to play a piano. If we could get the anointing of weight loss, would the church, you think the church would be full if we could get healing? Imagine if we get the anointing of weight loss.
Amen.
Is that right? It is just easy peasy. Fit, healthy, strong, able to lift weight. Okay, well, I'm going to give you the expertise of how to get strong. Well, I don't want that. I'm going to show you how to get strong in spirit. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I'm going to show you how to raise your family strong in the word. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I'm happy to get the results, but I need the master of breakthroughs because he would lead me through the journey. And he said there was the same Philistines coming from the same direction had two totally different ways of dealing with them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And so I was listening to Brother Jerry, and he was talking about he had a problem in his teeth and it was giving a lot of pain. And he got up and he was just standing in faith because, you know, like teeth can be like it was very painful. He had an abscess or something. You know, he had something that was serious in his teeth. And he got up through the night and he read the Psalms. Not some Psalms. He read every Psalm. 150 psalms. Now, if you're listening to that, say, that's what I need to do. No. The master of breakthroughs will show you what you need to do. That's just what he had to do.
Yeah, so good.
Sometimes I'm like, wow. You know, and he got up in the morning and he got through, there was the pain dissipated. 150 psalms. That takes a while. You know, some of them are long psalms. Psalm 119 is a long psalm. But he did that in faith, and he wasn't earning his salvation. He was doing what the master of breakthroughs was telling him to do to get his faith and establish. And I wouldn't have said, I'll read Psalms. He just knew that's what he was doing, and he read it. And he got up in the morning, and he looked at, and his mouth was swollen. And he began to rebuke the swelling. And the Lord said, stop it. He said, I've worked surgery in your mouth. The swelling is because it's all gone. I've done surgery. Just relax. No need to rebuke the swelling. That's just the result of my work.
Yeah.
Just let it go. And when it did, he was totally healed.
Wow, praise God.
How many want those types of testimonies? Yes. How many want to follow the master of breakthroughs into those testimonies?
Yeah,
yeah. Yes, for you. Praise God. You need to hear this, brother. Amen. You need to do that. But this is the master of breakthroughs.
Yeah, come on, so good.
And it's to be our lifestyle. It's just to be what we do. The Philistines come in, But we're just hearing God and we are doing what he's calling us to do. It's normal and it's natural for us to be taking a stand, to be resisting, to be speaking the word, to be doing things by love, to be seeking first the kingdom of God, to be forgiving our neighbor, to be whatever God is telling us to do, to be making that confession, to be waiting, holding. Oh, that's sometimes, you know, God says, wait until you hear this. Then you'll know it's your turn. So get in position, wait. But then when you hear it, immediately go.
Yeah, so good.
If you can just get people to wait and go at the right time, a lot of things would be sorted, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, I am too busy to wait and I'm too busy to go.
Yeah.
Wait, go. You see what they said? It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the bells, then you shall go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. So we are breakthrough church, breakthrough by name, but we are called to be breakthrough by nature.
Yeah.
It is to be our nature to lean into God,
yeah,
to be listening to God, to get his expertise and his direction and his ability. And so when the enemy comes in from this... Well, it's not even, see, this is the thing. They didn't even come in from a different direction. They came in the same. It looked the same. But they had discernment.
Yeah.
He knew, David said, I sought the Lord. What do you want me to do? First time, see, the first time he's thinking, well, the enemy came in. David sought the Lord. Why do you need to seek the Lord?
Yeah.
Because he had this relationship with God. He knew that it was God giving him the victory, not just the fact that he was going out.
Yeah.
So he waits. So God, do we go out? And he said, go for them. So bang. Come in again. He said, Lord, do we go this way?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, and David, the only times, you know, the children of Israel or David, whatever, they got into strife when they just didn't bother to check. You know, there's a time in the book of Joshua when the children of Israel, it says, these people came and made it look as if they'd come from a great distance away. They wore old, worn out clothes. They had water bottles that were really, you know, water bags that were really... you know, deteriorating and dry. And they said, we've come from a long way away. Make covenant with us. And it says they did not bother to check with the Lord. Because it's like, oh, easy. We'll just make covenant with you. Won't affect anything. Then they discovered that they're just down the road and that they'd been fooled. And the people were annoyed with them, upset, because they made a decision that says they did not bother to honor the Lord. And then David, he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant in. And he said, this is a great idea. This is, let's do it. And he gets them and they put it on a cart. And he says, that's really good. And they go, and as the cart's going, it hits a bump and it rocks and someone reaches over to touch the cart and he dies. And David's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's so upset and they won't move it any further. And he says, whoa, I just tried to do that. God says, did you try and find out how to do this? Because there's a very clear instruction. And by the time David had got the clear instruction, that Ark of the Covenant needed to be carried on the shoulders. It was not to be put on it. And so when they did it the next time, it worked as it should.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not that we're doing the wrong thing, that we're just doing it without consulting the master and the expert of the breakthrough. How are we to do this?
Yeah.
I already know how to do this. I've already done this a million times. I know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's a recipe for hitting the wall and not working out what happened. Because I wasn't listening for him to work first. And he says, I'm over here. I'm quoting scriptures. He's telling me to give them a gift to my neighbor. I'm like, he's got nothing to do with my sore knee.
Yeah.
Got nothing to do with this. God says, I want you to go and do this. I want you to sow this seed. It's got nothing to do with this. I want you to sing this worship time, have a time of worship and minister to me. That's not my scriptures on healing. Oh, I know, I'll sing healing scriptures. Lord said, no, just worship me.
Amen.
And in that, healing can flow. The Son of God can rise with healing in his wings. It just, we minister. And then there's times where I know what I'm going to do. I'm just, you know, there was a series of books that came out. Well, there was a book. How many know in Christian circles, if a book comes out and it's popular, it's not a book? It is a series of books. Is that right? You know, if you get a victory in an area and you write about it and everyone goes, that's amazing, now you've got 12 books, you know. Breakthroughs for parents, breakthroughs for kids, breakthroughs for grandparents, breakthroughs for, you know, over finances, breakthroughs over the, and it's all the same answer, just repackaged because it's just, that's what we do. And there was a while ago, you know, it was praise, you know, I think Don Basham? Basham. Yeah, and he discovered there was an answer. Hey, I was praying and I shouldn't have been praying, I should have been praising. And as I praised God, the answer came. So everyone said, stop praying. It's all about praising. So all books on praising came out. And God be like, no. The master of breakthrough says, praise here. Pray and fast here. Worship here. Declare scriptures here. And then sometimes he gets really, he says, declare scriptures and worship. I just gets, you know. It's like he knows what he's doing. It's like there's an level of expertise. It's like a prayer. And when we pray for people, when we're praying for people, sometimes as I'm praying for people, I'm really sensitive. Sometimes halfway through the prayer, the Lord says, all right, now switch over here. We're going to do this a different way. And I'm like, well, this is working, Lord. He said, yeah, that has got you to there. This is what will get you down here. So, you know, you've got to be sensitive to the master of breakthroughs. Don't argue with him and don't say, I know better, it's working. He says, leave that, now get them to do this. You know, I won't give example, you know, because I have been praying for people and the Lord said, now stop that. Now ask them about this. Let's deal with this area. Two things can be working. One can get you part victory, but to get the full victory, you need to maybe tackle this focus and work in that way. So, master of breakthroughs. Hallelujah. We're going to come around the communion table. So if we could just prepare that. He is the master of breaking through. And this table represents the greatest victory he's given us. Hallelujah. You know, there's, you want some really deep truth here? There's two elements as part of our communion. There's the cup and there's the biscuit, the blood and the bread. Two.
Hey, online family, as Pastor said, we'll be jumping back into the auditorium in a minute, but we'd encourage you, we'd love you to be able to take communion with us today. What we're doing in the room, it's not something that just has to happen in the room. We'd love you to be able to join us. So what we do, we're just getting some cup, a cup and a biscuit, you know, communion. We're taking that moment to come around what God did on the cross and the breakthrough that he did there, you know, the ultimate breakthrough, the breaking through, you know, he tore the veil, he broke through death, he took the keys, the ultimate breakthrough that happened on the cross. So we would encourage you, we'd love you to join us in taking communion. If you're joining us from your house right now, when you run to your kitchen, we encourage you, get some juice, water, get whatever you want, get a biscuit, get a piece of bread, you know. We normally just do crackers and cordial or something like that here. So you're welcome to do that. You don't have to do anything fancy. This isn't about having the right elements. This isn't about having the perfect things. This is about, you know, coming together and what it represents. And to us, it's representing the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, what God did on the cross. And not just the broken body, why he broke his body, why he went on that cross and what he did that day. So I encourage you, go grab a drink, grab a small cup of, you know, as I said, juice, cordial, water. It can be anything. Whatever's going to represent to you what God did on that cross. So I encourage you, if you're joining us, we'd love you to take a minute, go grab that stuff, come back, and as we take communion in the room, Pastor's going to lead us in that, and we can follow along together online. I'll send you back into the auditorium now.
How would the disciples have handled it when Jesus said, this is a new covenant? Like, they had the covenant. And suddenly saying, no, it's a new covenant in my blood. I'm establishing this which has been already God. They said, but this is my body. Writer of the Hebrews says his body, it says the veil in the temple, which is his body. Maybe I'll just read that to you so that, because that might not be as familiar with it to you. Book of Hebrews. Okay, verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Thank God that we can step into his presence because of what the blood has done. Without the shedding of blood, he has said, there is no forgiveness of sins. His blood has brought us, paid for us. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. His flesh. And what he was talking about was the temple of God. It started as a tabernacle, then Solomon built a temple. Then you had Herod's temple, but the temple. We got a picture. Did we manage to put that up just so I can show you? This is the tabernacle. Okay, that's the old, the first tabernacle that they had in the wilderness. It was all designed around wooden frames, coated in gold, but then they had like curtains. When I say curtains, thick tapestries over the top, because then they would, when God said move, and they had, you can see there the glory of cloud would rest over the Ark of the Covenant that was sitting in there. And when that moved, they moved. When God moved, they moved. So they had to pack it all up, put in carry cases, and the Ark of the Covenant had poles on the side, and the priests would lift it up and they would walk and follow the cloud to the next place where God would say, here's where you're going to camp, and they would reassemble that. So they did that until many years later when David said, why is the Lord in the tent when I'm in a palace? Let's build. And God said, not you, your son is going to build a temple. But you can see there, the temple was pretty much like that, except a physical building and twice as big. Solomon doubled all the dimensions. So it became twice as high, twice as wide, and obviously not like a fence. It was like full panels and gold, and it was just brilliant. But you can see there that building at the back with the brown covering over the top, that is where God had the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. Two-thirds of the way back was another curtain that separated the front part where they would have the menorah, the candlestick, and they would have the showbread. And then you'd go through that next veil to the Ark of the Covenant and where God dwelled, and that's where that glory cloud is. So that's the life of the Israel, the Jew, is ministering there, and only once a year would they go into that very final end. The high priest would go in to the Ark of the Covenant once a year, and that was the Day of Atonement, because that was God's very presence, the glory of God. But when Jesus died, in the book of Matthew it tells us this, and Luke, I think Luke says it as well, but Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Jesus is on the cross, cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. What's God saying? I ain't staying in that room no longer. It used to be just one place called the Holy of Holies. In the tabernacle, it was 10 cubits cubed, which is, what's that? It was 15 yards, about 5 meters, a cube of about 5 meters in the tabernacle. And in Solomon's temple, doubled to about 10 meters. So a big space, but that was it. And when Jesus died, not from the bottom up, but from the top down, was the veil ripped to bring God amongst men. No longer is this where there's a barrier. This is now what his plan is for us to be able to enjoy this. And his body is the tearing of the veil. His body being ripped was the demonstration of God coming to man. The blood, the new covenant, the body, the tearing of the veil that separated God and man. This body has been broken for us. The provision and the grace, the glory, the everything that's in that presence. You know, when you went in there was the Ark of the Covenant, and there was a few things in there. They had the tablets that Moses had got was in there. They had a golden bowl that had the manna, some of the manna. And then they had Aaron's rod that had budded. They kept it there. So that was in Solomon's temple. I don't think those things were in Herod's temple many years later. But that was what they'd kept there. But they represented God's provision, his ways, his manner, his life, his authority, his, and all these things represented. All those things are now freely available. They're now, that veil's torn. I don't have to go somewhere to go into God. I just can come to God. There's a reason this biscuit is broken. Okay, now if we're doing it properly, we would have the old, you know, like it's like a flatbread, you know, like a pita bread type of, you know, and you could tear it. Look like a, you know, tear it and you get a piece. Tear. This is not whole, it's broken. Symbolizing the broken veil that has been made ready for it. This is a cup. This is not the blood of Jesus. His blood was poured out in the great temple in the throne room of God. His blood has already been poured. This represents and reminds me of it. This is not his body. It represents his body. I'm not saying that physically and somehow supernaturally turns into his blood and body. I'm just saying it represents it. But what it does represent is what we lay hold of. And the things that the blood represents and the things that the broken body represent, we're going to ask the Master of breakthroughs to enable us to break through into healing, forgiveness, to grace, to strength, to provision, to the answers that we need. They all come through his provision. If you, why don't you come and join me at the front here? If you come and take a piece of bread, take a cup. You can go back to your seat or you can just stay around the front. We're going to close the service as soon as we've done this. Master of breakthroughs. Master of breakthroughs. Who would be wise and powerful enough to break through the sin of the whole world? Jesus. Oh. Through man, through Adam, through one man, sin entered the whole world and spread to the whole world. But through one man, Jesus, righteousness overcame all that sin and brought us into wholeness and peace. Thank you, Jesus, through your broken body, through your shed blood. Guide me, O Master. I want you to make this your prayer. Guide me, O Master of breakthroughs, to enjoying in full the breakthroughs that have been paid for by this, and making me an ambassador, enabling me as an ambassador to bring your breakthrough love and power to those around in Jesus' name. To take this breakthrough, to experience breakthroughs, but to be a bringer of breakthroughs, a master of bringing breakthroughs into other people's lives so they may glorify you and say, look what God has done. Look what the Master of breakthroughs has broken through in my life. In Jesus' name. Let's eat and drink together as we celebrate that. Thank you, Caitlin.